Well, the third session, the last one, you holding on, holding up okay?
Yeah.
I think so. Right? Don't be so nice to yourself. That's another Brother Lee's unforgettable motto. Don't be so nice to yourself. You're too nice to yourself. Be nice to others, but don't be nice to yourself. Yeah? Okay, we come to now the position of the elders, right? We have, firstly, the training, then the origin, and then the position. February, when we come back here, we'll cover the function of the elders, the appointment of the elders, and the leadership of the elders. We're covering this subject in rather fine way, as you can see. Let me start with, again, finish reading what I was reading from. If you want to take this down, it is Elders Training, Book 8, Chapter 11. Elders Training Series, Book 8, Chapter 11. You will find this. But let me read a little bit more. Some of the leading brothers have been in their locality a long time, and it might be more profitable for them to go to another locality and let some new ones take the lead in their leadership. It's very good. This is actually happening in a number of places in a wonderful way. You know, a change always makes us alive. They don't kill us. Change actually give us a second lease, you know, give us a new start. So don't be afraid of changing. Don't try to keep holding on to status quo or some kind of position in a place. There's nothing to hold on to, brothers, really. Nothing to hold on to. Have a change. A lot of GTCA cities, we need to open up more churches in this area. We need more experienced brothers who can be helpful in that way. They could go to another locality to have a new church started or go to another local church. Sometimes you move, and eldership is not transferable geographically. You don't have this kind of a, you know, I know some policemen, they long retired, they still carry their card, you know, they flash their card and they get away with things, you know. Okay. No, we have no card to carry. Your leading brother here does not mean automatically a leading brother there. No such thing. Okay. Then some younger ones can begin to bear the responsibility of the practical leadership. There's also the need for some to take the lead among the Chinese-speaking saints. At that time, he was talking about that. Okay, let me continue. In some localities, the eldership really needs some help. A brother who is in the lead may be a floating person. He may not be in this locality that much, and yet he may be taking the lead there. It may be more profitable for him to travel and to take care of his burden with the ministry. Thus, the eldership in this locality will need strength. I'm in Irvine, but I'm not in Irvine, you know what I mean? But thank the Lord, there's a group of elders and responsible ones who is really bearing the genuine burden, not me, of the church there. Okay, the loss we have suffered in the eldership in some localities has been due to the dissenting. Some brothers may have become good elders, but they are dissenting. I don't know how that works. Good and dissenting. Their dissenting was mostly due to their character. Aha, now I got it. Good elders becoming dissenting because of dispositional problems. And that happens. They have a dissenting character. They just love to dissent. It's a hobby. It's fun. It's hard for them to be one in anything. They just love to fight and just have a great shootout, you know. It is hard for them to be one. Okay, dissension has eaten up these brothers. We would like to see them perfected, but it seems that there is no way. As a result, we suffer the loss. I know some place, you go there, they fight because you're around, they stop fighting. After you leave, they resume the fight until you come again, right? These dear brothers were the right persons in their age, in their early 40s, but they did have a history in the Lord's recovery. I say all of this to warn us. We all have to kill our own dissension and condemn it. Dissension is a big eater. It has somewhat eaten up the Lord's recovery. We may need to bring in some younger brothers into the eldership. That is a big burden of ours in Northern California, to bring in the younger brothers in the eldership. Absolutely. Not too early. Not too soon. We're ready. But we also must take Paul's word in 1 Timothy 3:6. Not a new convert. Not a new convert. Lest being blinded with pride, he falls into the judgment of the devil. That's Paul's warning. Novices should not bear the eldership. This may open the door for the subtle one to seduce them into human pride. Then it will damage them. So we don't want that to happen. Not one among the 80 elders appointed in Taipei, this is back in the 80s, early 80s, mid-80s, is under 30. To be under 30 is too young. Even the Lord Jesus began to minister when he was 30. In the priesthood, an apprenticeship should be 25, and the full priesthood is realized at the age of 30. 30 is the full age for God's service. All right, these are just some quotes. I have more, but you go and read it yourself. Now, let's come to the position. And in the position, again, we very much rely on the Old Testament. Now, this is a very rich outline with a lot of footnotes. Now, I really want to charge you, when you get into this, don't just skim over things. Get into the footnotes. Get into the footnotes. I might even read one for you, and that is in Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 1, can you read that together? God's administration. So let's go back to the original. Let's go back to how God administrates things among his people in the Old Testament. And we have a beautiful, beautiful footnote here that I'll just read you to whet your appetite. There are some more noted here. Get into them. Study them. Right? All right. So let me read Deuteronomy 16:18, which says this: You shall appoint for yourself judges and officers in all your cities. So this is even not just about elders. These are judges and officers, which Jehovah your God is giving you according to your tribes. And they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. This is where the judges come in. Okay, here's a footnote. The divine government among God's people is neither autocracy nor democracy, but theocracy. A direct ruling and governing by God himself according to what he is. Among the children of Israel in the Old Testament, God governed his people according to his constant speaking, as written in the law, and his instant speaking, as revealed either through the breastplate of the high priest, by means of the Urim and Thummim, or through the prophets, by the Spirit of God, coming upon certain ones to enable them to speak God's word. So you have two classes of people from whom the elders derive the leading from God. One, the priesthood, through what? Through the breastplate and the Urim and Thummim. So you have to get into some of these footnotes to appreciate what those things are. I don't have time. Then you have another class of people that will be the prophets, that later on, especially at the days of the king. All right? You do have the prophets. For example, you have David the king. At a certain time, he did not have the Lord's leading. Even he sinned a great sin, offending Jehovah. So Nathan was sent as the prophet to give King David the instant speaking. This is much like the priests coming to give the elders the speaking they receive in the tabernacle as the instant speaking. Now, they have the law always. That's the constant word, sort of the logos word, all right? But they also have the instant word. You need both. To have the leading among God's people, you need both aspects of the word. I mean, of the Lord speaking. So you have the priests coming to them, and that would be the same as the prophets related to the kings. Okay, let me continue. Moreover, God's government was executed through some human agents. The priests and the elders, the judges or the kings, as direct administrators who work together for God's theocracy. In the church, in the New Testament, the teaching of the apostles replaces the law in God's administration. Did you get that? The teaching of the apostles, this Bible, this New Testament, in its entirety, from Gospel, from Matthew 1 to Revelation 22. Okay, this is our law today. This is the constant logos word that we regard, that we live by, that we adhere to. This is our New Testament law. This is our New Testament constitution. You know, the U.S. have a constitution. And that's ours. It's the New Testament, the Bible. Now, the teaching of the apostles replaces the law in God's administration, and the elders of the churches are the direct administrators who administrate according to the teaching of the apostles. Now, in the Old Testament, you have the priests, the elders, and sometimes the judges and the kings. Four kinds of people, all working together to render the administration of God. In the New Testament, basically in the local churches, basically just one group, the elders. So in the New Testament, the elders are the priests who receive the instant speaking. The elders are also the what? The judges who render certain judgment among God's people, and so on. All right? They do all of this according to the teaching of the apostles, which is the Old Testament law, or like the New Testament law. In relation to the instant speaking of the Lord, all the believers, including the elders, are priests to God. So not just the elders, all of God's believers, the Lord's believers, are priests, having Christ as the high priest living within them, and having the Holy Spirit mingle with their regenerated human spirit to replace the function of the Urim and Thummim. So the Urim and Thummim is today our mingled spirit. You know, Urim meaning illuminator, Thummim meaning perfecter, all right? So according to some Hebrew scholars, on the breastplate, there are 18 of the 22 Hebrew alphabets there. And it is supposed that four of those missing alphabets are on the Thummim, all right? So it is by the illuminating of the light or the darkening of the light that a priest would, word by word, sentence by sentence, and paragraph by paragraph, so to speak, receive God's speaking. Whereupon they will bring that speaking to the elders for the elders to carry it out. They don't. The priests are the agents who receive that speaking. The elders are the direct administrators. That's the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's the same people. The two become one. So we have to be those who know the apostles' teaching. That's the constant word, the law, our law. We also have to be those who live as priests in the Lord's presence, bearing God's people on our bosom and on our shoulders, right, by prayer. And through that, we will read, so to speak, read God's leading, find God's leading, and we also would execute them as elders. All right, so this is just one footnote. Isn't this wonderful? There are a few more. I would just charge you to get into them. All right, so let's come to the outline. All right. God calling the children of Israel to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. There's a footnote there, so you get into that. One, when God's people came out of Egypt, they came out as a nation and a kingdom. Two, in this kingdom at Mount Sinai, God's administration among his people on earth began. All right, so chapter 18, the kingdom was formed. Chapter 19, the law began to be given to Moses. And it is by that law that God administrates the kingdom of his, the kingdom of Israel. Okay, B, God's government being by his instant speaking plus his constant written word through some agents. Again, please read the footnote there, 1 through 3, Exodus 28, 30. I already mentioned this already just now. God's administration among his people was neither an autocracy nor democracy, but a theocracy, indicating that God himself came to govern, to rule, to administrate. Now, in God's kingdom, God would not allow anyone else to govern. He is the only king. He is the sole ruler of his own kingdom. That's theocracy. But in order to carry that out, he needs some agents on this earth, men among his people, chosen by him to help him to execute that administration. And so here it says, God administers some agents, the priests and the elders. This is still the Old Testament. All right. Three, the priests were the ones who received God's word, God's speaking. God's constant and instant speaking was the living constitution of the children of Israel. The U.S. Constitution is one of the top documents of the ages, I would say. You remove that constitution, this country will crumble. Today, whether it is the all three branches, right? The legislative, the executive, and the judiciary, all are beholden to that constitution. They say that constitution is living and breathing still. Am I right? Now, how you interpret it makes a big difference. So don't belittle the interpretation. When you say, oh, we all have the Bible, well, it depends on your interpretation. Sorry, some activist judges interpret their own brand of constitution. You know what I mean. Okay, let's not go there. Thank the Lord for our interpretation. Praise the Lord for this interpreted word. It is fair. It is balanced. It stands on the shoulders of all the past great interpreters of the Bible. And we have it in our ministry today. So get into this interpretation. Otherwise, you don't know how to judge. You don't know how to do things, carrying on the church life. Okay. God's constant speaking was written in the law. I think I'm still with it, right? And there's an Exodus footnote. God's instant speaking was revealed through the breastplate of the high priest by means of the Urim and the Thummim. Another footnote. Please get into these footnotes. Four. The high priest then passed on the word that he had received to the elders, and the elders became the direct administrators among God's people. When the priests became weak, the prophets were raised up to strengthen God's people, God's speaking. So you have Ezra. Even, you know what, in those days, even Zerubbabel, representing the kingship, and Ezra, representing the priesthood, were a bit low, a bit in a weakened state. So Haggai and those prophets in the recovery period were raised up as a supplementary ministry to support, to strengthen God speaking amongst his people. And God speaking, never forget, is God administrating. Where God speaks, there is his administration. Okay, so you read footnote 1 in Ezra 5:1. 6, whatever happened in the Old Testament was a type of the New Testament government. If we are going to understand God's administration in his move in the New Testament today, we have to go back to the Old Testament to receive a full understanding of the practice of God's administration. All right, make this a study, my brothers. Young brothers, make this a study. Study God's administration. All right? And you'll have a proper concept. You'll break out of some traditional view, even in the recovery, which could be entirely wrong. It's just a tradition. It's really not according to the truth. All right. Now we come to God's administration in the New Testament. We come to ourselves. The elders being appointed by the apostles. Firstly, the apostles appoint elders. Elders do not appoint elders. And that has also happened in a strange way. Elders appointing elders. No such thing. Elders are appointed by the apostles. Acts 14:23 records clearly that the elders were established among the saints by the apostles who preached the gospel to them and formed them into a local church. The clear case is Paul, all right, who established the churches by his gospel preaching, and so he established elders in those churches. Or he sent his representatives to do so in the person of Timothy or Titus and so on. Okay, Titus 1:5 tells us that the apostles who established the churches had the position and the right to send a representative to establish the elders, like Timothy and Titus. B, the apostles' relationship with the churches and the elders after they have been established. You know, in the last big rebellion in the late 80s, there arose a great controversy. And the dissenting ones saying, what? That once an apostle established church, hands off. They have no more right to touch those churches. Mainly talking about Brother Lee. No right to come and interfere with our business. Well, that's not the Bible, unfortunately. Please read the Bible. Paul was not only never hands off, Paul got very involved with the local churches, with authority. Now, maybe not in the administrative items. For example, in 1 Corinthians with that sinner, Paul said, cast that one out. Put that one out. He didn't do it. He wasn't even physically present. But he charged the Corinthians. Clearly, he was charging the elders in that case to what? To put such a one out. So they executed. But Paul had, as the apostle, their apostle, had the right and the position to instruct the church and charge the church according to his teaching, which is part of the apostles' teaching. Okay, one, as an apostle, Paul kept his hands off the church administration, but not from the teaching, instructing and charging the church. So he told Timothy, charge those men not to teach differently. Because Timothy was there as one of the elders by that time in Ephesus. So you carry that out, elders, you carry that out. Two, as the apostle, he did not have the position to administrate the church, but he did have the position, right, and responsibility to charge the elders to do so. C, the elders being both the priests and administrators. In the Old Testament, the priests are one group and the elders are another group. But in the New Testament, these two groups are one. Two, all the believers in Christ are priests to God, including the elders. And Christ is the high priest. All right, we're clear. We're a kingdom of priests. Elders, non-elders, we're all priests. The elders who are also the priests should be the ones who administrate the church in God's government. The priestly elders. The prophets and teachers are the ones who can help in the priesthood and eldership. Now, let me say something here, brothers. We Christians typically look up to this group of people in Ephesians 4. You know, the ascended, the head, gave gifts to the body. Who are they? Right? We know them. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. Indeed, these are the five key groups of people that are given as gifts to the Lord's body for the perfecting of the saints unto the building up of his body, for sure. No disputation there. But, and elders was not mentioned. Because this group of people, by and large, are not the administrators. They are the gifts. They're the perfecters. But they're not the administrators. The administration of the local church falls squarely on the shoulder of the elders. And the elders, plus the deacons, are the only two administrative offices in the Bible. Actually, I'm wrong. Actually, the elders are the only group. Who are the deacons? The deacons are those who are the serving ones, the helpers to carry out the things that the elders decide on or wish to carry out. Are you with me? So the elders in the New Testament are the administrators. Now, we have firstly established that this group of elders in the New Testament are also priests. And I would say some of them are prophets. Are you with me? But my point here is this. Whereas many Christians would look up to the group of five, you know, those five gifts, they don't realize that in God's economy, including its execution, that the elders occupy a most key position. So, wow, they say, oh, apostles, wow, the prophets, whoa, I wish I can be an evangelist, whatever. Elders, well, they're kind of second class. Elders, they are, it doesn't matter who they are. They don't need any training. They don't need anything. You are wrong. You're wrong. I tell you, all the gifts are here. Without the elders' cooperation, you can hardly work those things out in the local churches. That's why the last session, the cooperation of the elders with the apostles is so essential for that exact reason. The elders are right there. They can be the facilitators or they can be what? The frustrators. They can help or they can hurt. Such a key position. Terribly important. Yet, we just give it kind of not that much attention. That's why a training like this is so necessary to make sure this gear is working. Then the whole body can operate. You have uncooperative elders. You have elders who don't know what is the New Testament apostles' teaching. You have elders who don't have the saints' interest and welfare in their hearts. That whole church grinds to a standstill. You wonder why. Even with the richest ministry, don't we have the richest ministry? The feast, everything is just Niagara Falls. But you go to the churches, weak, malnourished, inoperative, not working things out. Brother Lee say, work out the God-ordained way. Not the head, no working out. The elders didn't work it out. The elders are passive. The elders don't care. No aggressive cooperation with the apostle. So the churches, what? Languish. Some for years, some for decades, in a non-growth condition. Some even negative growth condition. Brothers, I'm not making this up. All right? I believe this is not just North America. This is, could be anywhere. Brothers, how important are the elders? Do you see now? It's not about a chair that people say for you up front. It's not about signing some checks. It's not about deciding the color of the walls or giving announcements. No, that's not it. It's this. It's this. It's carrying out God's speaking, His administration in a certain age to work out His economy. If the elders won't move, nobody will move. The elders don't get into the things, nobody will get into the things. You go around and tell people, oh, read the life studies, and you don't read it. What is that? Pretty soon people will find out. Because even when you open your mouth, nothing of the riches come out. And here you stand up because you're the announcer. You must be the last announcer. You know, the one who have the last word is very important. That means I'm the boss. I am the boss. Take note. I'm still the boss. I give the last announcement. Even after the last announcement was given, I still stand up to give the last announcement. Brothers, it's not only ridiculous, it is pathetic. It is pitiful. Is that your concept of what an elder is? No, no. It's much more important work to do, to work out the apostles' teaching, to work out the apostles' fellowship, to carry out God's administration, not in the sense of ruling, and just making decisions, but in the sense of working out His speaking, shepherding, building up the churches. All right. In the Old Testament, the priests are one group, and the elders are another group, but in the New Testament, these two groups are one. All the believers in Christ are priests to God, including the elders, and Christ is the high priest. The elders, who are also the priests, should be the ones who administrate the church in God's government. The prophets and teachers are the ones, oh, I read through all of this already, who help in the priesthood and eldership. Now come to D. The teaching of the apostles being the constitution of God's New Testament kingdom. I mentioned this already. In the Old Testament kingdom of God, the constitution was the law. And in the New Testament kingdom of God, the constitution is the teaching of the apostles. Acts 2:42. The teaching of the apostles is the complete New Testament to which no one can add anything and from which no one can take away anything. You just read Revelation chapter 22. Three, it's not like today's U.S. Constitution. You add amendments after amendments, right? You cannot add any amendments to this divine constitution. It's perfectly spoken by God. Okay, if there's a problem in the church, we must learn to be silent and go to the written word of God, the New Testament constitution, without any opinion. Let's see what the word says. What does the word tell us? What did God say? For to carry out the written constitution still needs the Lord's instant speaking. So there's the instant side that is still necessary. To have the Lord's instant speaking, we have to get into the presence of the Lord, stay in His presence and wait on Him, and we have to, quote, read the stones on the breastplate, unquote, the members of the church, that we may know what to do and how to do it. Five, There's also the need of much fellowship in the presence of the Lord, that the Urim and the Thummim, in Christ's loving capacity, would speak. Then the elders would know what is on the Lord's heart concerning his people and what he desires to administrate in their locality for the church there. Do you do that, brothers? I must tell you, my exercise, personal exercise before the Lord, whether it is in a church situation or in a work situation, a lot has to do with direction, you know, leading, how to, what is the next step, right? A lot of God speaking has, in the, your local church, where are you going? By the way, a lot of churches are going nowhere. They just float in the Pacific Ocean. Sometimes a little waft of a breeze come by and they move a few feet. By and large, they float listlessly. These are churches that are going nowhere. All churches should have a goal, should have a direction. Even annually, in this new year, 2015, what is your goal? Where is your church going? What do you aim to accomplish? I go to churches and then the brothers say, huh? What? We're supposed to go somewhere? So default eldership is maintenance mode. Just maintain. Maintain, give the announcement, sell the holy word for morning revival, and whatever you do. That's not bad. You need to keep your house affairs taken care of. But that is not moving forward. How many of the leading brothers as a group come together to pray for the Lord's leading? How your local church should go? My church in Irvine, the next 2 weeks after this weekend, starting Monday, we will, that was our planning, 2 weeks of planning. The elders and this another group of brothers come together, 30 of us. We would devote the time to pray and look to the Lord for year 2015. And we'll set some goals. This is business, isn't it? And there's no business without planning. How much money do you still have in your account? I don't know. Are you doing a business? This year, what kind of sales you want to achieve? I don't know. It doesn't matter. What kind of business are you doing? Do business till I come. Didn't he say that? You have to know your assets. You have to know your bank account. You have to have a plan. You have to have what? Schedule. Then you mean business. And I don't mean to do this unspiritually. We pray. There's a lot of need. This is why we need to spend time in the Lord's presence. So back to my own, you know, my personal testimony is I do spend much time with the Lord in this way, personally. And we all should be like this. To ask the Lord for his speaking, his instant speaking, his anointing. How do I do it? By bearing the saints, by bearing the churches before him. Lord, what do you want to do in Northern California? I don't know. He knows. He's the head. But I have to seek him. Am I right? Oh, Lord, what do you want to do with the church in XYZ place? What do you want to do this year? What do you want to do next month? We have the apostles' teaching. We have all these things from the ministry. It's all there. But how do you implement it? The timing of it. You need to seek the Lord. You cannot depend on the elders in the next church. Now, this I'm not advocating independence. We all need to fellowship, right? and learn from each other. We need to move as one. But you know what I mean. That church is under your hand, your administration. You are responsible before God for its condition. And how can you just default status quo? So a lot of the inadequate situation in the churches are actually explainable. They're reasons. They're causes. And I'd like to address them. I'd like to address them with you in the coming weeks and days and so on. It need not be that way. It need not be that way. All right? How will the church grow? How come a church for years, no growth? How do you improve your prophesying meeting, for example? How about the children? How about the young people? How about the college work? How about many, many things? Well, I don't know. Okay. The Urim and the Thummim. Spend time with the Lord together. The teaching of the apostles being the real leadership. The leadership in the New Testament in actuality is not the leadership of one controlling person, but of one controlling revelation. In the one ministry through those who bring in the revelation of the ministry. You have to muse on just that one sentence. B, the apostles were very strict with the teaching of the apostles, not tolerating any teaching that was different from God's New Testament economy. That's one of your jobs as elders. You have to be the gatekeeper and disallow any kind of different teaching from coming in. Some elders are not only not gatekeepers, they welcome all kinds of ministries. Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, that's pretty good. So they brought in all manners of things that are contrary to the nature of the Lord's recovery. Why? Because of the elders. No idea what the apostles' teaching is. Okay, E, the church is being local in administration, but not absolutely independent. Now, this is important. Local only in administrative affairs, but not absolutely independent. The word of the Lord to one church is the word spoken by the Spirit to all the churches. I think we all know this. I certainly am so encouraged to just to be in this training and see so many brothers sitting here from diverse churches, right? But all we are what? Not independent in that way. We're what? We are moving as one. Like Colossae and Laodicea. Am I right? Like the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. We should be like that. This is normal. This is right. Don't say we're giving up the locality. No, we're never giving up the locality. We're practicing the locality in the body. All right, let's finish. All the churches should listen to the word that the apostles have received of God, which is the teaching of the New Testament. Three, we need to meet as local churches separately, but all the local churches are still one body in Christ. Amen. All right, I finish. Now I'm going to, a couple of minutes of wrap up. I believe Terry has some announcements for us, and we'll finish in time. So, brothers, this is the first such training. You feel okay?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You feel it's worthwhile continuing?
Yes.
When the brothers told me, then we have 300, the first thing I thought of is Gideon. But Gideon didn't start with 300. It started with multiple thousands, ending up with 300. We started out with 300. What will we end up with? I don't know, maybe next week only half will show up. But I won't be deterred. Maybe there should be only half. Maybe. Who are serious, who mean business. It's not just a matter of numbers. It's a matter of our attitudes. So I ask you, this training is over. The lectures are over. Now the important training is coming up. That's the next 3 to 4 weeks. 3 weeks. So you must come together in groups. You're accountable by that website. You must meet once a week. You must get into one message a week as thoroughly as you can. I suggest you should get together. This is outside of your regular elders meeting with the brothers in this training, at least an hour and a half. All together, at least an hour and a half. Because short of that, you're just kind of skimming through things. And I hope there will be a pursuing atmosphere with also a lot of prayer. Okay? All right, I stop here.